things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 5 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
Packers lose to the Raiders, 13-17, in a game I thought we would get healthy and put one in the win column.
Yeah, I was hoping for a win. It did not look great at any point, really, for the Packers. We were never like truly out of the game score-wise, but just did not look good in any aspect of the game. Lackluster all around.
I felt the defense did pretty darn good. You know, you got three interceptions from your quarterback and you hold the opposing team to 17 yards. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Had some sacks.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't think the defensive players at any point did horrible. I think the scheme itself is just, there's no excuse for how bad we are at adjusting game to game to each team, because we're not adjusting at all. We're playing soft cover zone deep into the fourth quarter when we need to force a turnover and make something happen. It's just, you don't see anyone doing that, even in the college level. I don't know why the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers can get away with it.
By the way, we are recording on Friday. I know it's been a long time since the game, but it's been a week for both of us.
It's been a busy week.
So we both said we got to get it done today. So that's what we're doing. And if we're doing it during the day, you might hear a few giggles or cries because the daycare is still in session here. I don't know. I wonder about this. How much does the head coach influence the defensive coordinator's play calling or gaming or setting up their scheme for the game?
Well, I would imagine that it's the head coach's role to step in when something is going wrong and saying, we need to change it. You know, they're the leader of the team. They need, if something's broken, they need to be the one to initiate the fix.
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine it's pretty similar to the fact that we keep getting frustrated year after year now with LaFleur, that it doesn't seem like he can motivate the team energy-wise and emotion-wise, that they come out looking flat all the time like they did in this game, especially the offense. And I would imagine someone who can't rile people up emotionally might also not be able to go kind of nose-to-nose with the defensive coordinator and say, we need to change what's going on.
Well, that's not good. If that's truly the case, then that's not good. If you can't do it for your coaches, I get it. One thing, you know, you might want to look at the players and say they're professionals. We'll tell them what to do, get them out there. Of course, you look at it. Sure. I just got your message. Sorry. Threw me off.
Sorry. I should have waited to send it. I was just asking him to put his mic a little closer. It's a little quiet on mine.
Is it better now?
I think so.
Okay. Let me know. What was I say? Oh, I can get it. We're at a point with the head coach saying, I'm going to let my players play and let them, you know, maybe ask the veterans. We don't have many to fire up the team and stuff like that. But when it comes to your coaches, especially your coordinators, man, you should be able to get in their face. And you do it your own way, but you got to be able to tell them in the fourth quarter, we need a turnover.
Yeah. And it's hard because we don't know the truth and the reality of it, especially mm-hmm. with the Packers. They famously don't let a ton of drama or that kind of thing into the rumor mill and the media. But the fact that it's not being addressed, and we've seen it for so long, game to game with Joe Barry, that it's not changing and he's not adjusting or trying something different, when half of the fans, every expert in the media, Peyton Manning on their Manning cast on Monday Night Football is saying that this is unacceptable and something no defensive coordinator in the NFL should be doing. I mean, he went 0-16 for a season as defensive coordinator. I think he won, was it three games the next season or two games the next season? And then we hired him.
Yeah.
So there's not much of a track record of success here.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And nothing's going to happen. I mean, it, unless the GM says you've got to make a change, you've got to make a change. And then if LaFleur bucks it, then, you know, that sets the table for something else. But
yeah, I say fire him now. Do it now. Rip off the bandaid. Get rid of him now. Midseason.
And they won't do it. Most teams won't do it. Who would you get? Who would you hire?
Jim Leonard.
Yeah, Jim's just waiting for somebody to give him a call.
Who's the guy, the Packers, or no, sorry, the Badgers interim coach that we were trying to.
Well, that's who you just said.
Okay. That's what I thought. The way you reacted, I thought maybe I got the name wrong.
No, okay. No, you got it right.
Yeah. Cause when he didn't get the job back with the Badgers, that was kind of what a lot of people thought was the reason he didn't take the coordinator job for the Packers, right? He wanted to get the Badgers head coaching role.
Yeah.
And yeah, he didn't. Do we know what he's doing now? Is he still with the Badgers?
I don't know, man. If somebody could learn how to do a search and see what's going on, that would be very interesting.
So if they could do that and get back to us, email the show, that'd be great.
Well, flipping to the other side of the ball, yeah, offense just is not getting it done. And I feel like, feel like opposing teams are getting some good intelligence now on Love, able to game plan much better and confusing him much more. But not having Jones, not having our all-pro left tackle, not having Watson, well, we got him back for this game, but not having him around, still a little rusty. Gosh, it just, I really, again, I know that the defense frustrates you with the play calling and stuff, but still holding him to 17 with three interceptions, that's pretty darn good. I mean, it's not like the Raiders are beating the world here, but come on.
Yeah, but also, like you said, with the Raiders not beating the world, their defense has not been very good. This was kind of a test for the Packers offense here to say, like, if you can't do it against the Raiders, who are you going to be able to do it against this year other than the Bears?
Right. It's kind of like, I think they had the worst or almost the worst run defense. It might explain why we got a few yards this game.
Exactly. But... like, oh, by the way, Jim Leonard, it's a senior football analyst at Illinois.
Oh, okay. Is that broadcast or is that just for the team?
I think for the team, but I'm not really sure what you do in that role. I was surprised to see he's not coaching.
Yeah.
AJ Dillon kind of refuses to impress in any way again. He had one kind of nice run where he made a nice cut into the gap, got 11 yards. But that's his flashiest run of the year. And he's had a lot of chances with Aaron Jones hurt, and it's just it's not all the offensive line with the run blocking. I know we haven't been the best there, but you got to do more than that.
Who's filling in for Bakhtiari, do you know?
Yeah,
because I know his passing,
it's not Royce, is it?
I can't remember. I just saw something today, I should have written it down. His pass blocking is really good, but his run blocking is really bad.
Okay. It's Rashid Walker.
Okay.
Yeah. There's just so many areas we can look at this game and say they should have done better, or they just didn't like reach their potential. And then looking at after the bye, so we're going into the bye week here. We've had one game, as we talked about last week, in 28 days. Plenty of time for guys to get healthy if we can, for them to figure out a scheme to crack the very tough nut that is the Denver Broncos defense, who let up 70 points the other week. And then also, did they lose to the Bears, I think, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yes, and also lost to the Bears. So, I mean, we just talked about the Raiders kind of being a test for the offense that we did not pass. What if we fail the Denver Broncos test?
Well, then we fire our defensive coordinator.
Thank you. Finally.
And we play for the first round pick. We lose the rest of the games.
You want the Caleb Jones pick?
Sure.
Did you see Sean Payton kind of came out to talk about that today?
No, so I did not.
They lost, because we're recording this a little later. They played Thursday night already. We're recording on Friday. They lost 8-19 to the Chiefs. And near the end of the first half, Broncos failed to convert on third down and called a timeout to preserve 30 seconds before they punted it to the Chiefs, allowing the Chiefs to keep all three of their timeouts.
Oh my gosh.
To then go down into field goal territory and score 3 points.
You know,
so Sean Payton called a timeout for the Chiefs and then came out today and to address that said, well, I just want to make it known for no apparent reason related to yesterday's game that Caleb Jones is a generational talent and plenty of teams will be tanking for him this year. And I believe it will cause the NFL to go to a lottery system for the draft.
So you don't address what people were asking. Like, why did you do it?
He's like, basically said, oh, I didn't make a mistake. We're tanking for Caleb Jones.
Wow.
Of all the teams to go for Caleb Jones, they have a long contract. They still have to pay Russell Wilson no matter what happens. A lot of money.
Hey, did you see that? I think it was Boston, Kevin Garnett. I don't know how much you're into the NBA. Used to play for the Wolves, and then he went to Boston. I didn't know you could do this, but of course I don't follow the NBA much, but they prorated his salary out. So I think for 5 years after he retired, he's getting $5 million a year.
That's not a bad deal.
No, it's not like he's hurting.
Yeah, but
I think most people, even know how rich you are, you take $5 million a year for not playing.
Don't even have to dip into my savings.
Hey, who was it you told me that they never spent a dime of their salary and they just went off of their endorsements?
Yeah. Oh,
sorry to put you on the spot.
I think he was for the Steelers. Long time player, big name.
Ocho Cinco did too, I think, if I remember.
I think it was a defensive player. I can't
really
think at the moment, but he did a lot even after he retired. So he, lived off his kind of promotional stuff, banked all his contract money. And then he's also done a lot of work with young NFL players to teach them how to handle their finances in a smart way for the future.
Let's go. Jordan Love, 16 of 30. Ouch. 182 yards, 6.1 average, 3 interceptions, 2 of 7 sacks. Is that right? Yeah. And quarterback rating of 32.2. If you add up last week's and this week's, I think we were up to about 80.
Okay. So I was thinking of Marshawn Lynch. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Chad Ocho Cinco, similarly, only he saved 83% of all his NFL salary through his career by sleeping at the stadium and buying fake jewelry that he did not reveal was fake until after retirement.
He's That's a smart great. Dude, man.
That's funny.
And he was always doing stuff to keep his name out there and be on the highlights and stuff. And even more, it was almost like half and half of his great athleticism and also just being so flashy and doing stuff that he'd get fined by the NFL and he'd be like, I'm going to get more endorsements, man. It's cool.
Exactly. Apparently 7 days ago, Rob Gronkowski also revealed he's never spent any of his contract money. Over $70 million. But I mean, he gets a lot of endorsement money. That guy's on like half the commercials.
I think Kelsey is.
Nowadays, yeah, it's Kelsey. Why do tight ends always end up big media, like commercial personalities?
I don't know. I think they're kind of smart alecky, and they make for good fodder.
Are they like, instead of a wide receiver, they're not a diva, they're more kind of a common man too? Like
more of like a hockey player.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 22 of 31, 208 yards, and finished with a rating of 86.5. Not great. And they still won the game. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, not bad, though. And he did step up in the moments they needed the play. They needed to make it happen. He got it done. And I'm getting kind of tired of seeing Jimmy Garoppolo do that every time he plays against the Packers.
Yeah,
frustrating.
You mentioned the running game. AJ Dillon averaged 3.8 on 20 carries and 76 yards. You mentioned his long run of 11. He did have another good one. I think it was 9 yards, but other than that, he only totaled 110 rushing yards, including Jordan Love, Patrick Taylor, and Christian Watson. And against one of the worst running teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Did you see we let go of Patrick Taylor? We released Patrick Taylor now?
No, I did not see that.
I think it was yesterday. And I'm assuming that means Aaron Jones will be healthy again after the bye.
Boy, you would sure hope so, because it was just a little bite in his hamstring in that game against the Bears. And it's like, I could have come back. I saw LaFleur mentioned, he said, I hate when players use that term, just a little bite.
I know we talked about the scheme issues on the defense with Joe Barry, but going back to LaFleur and his scheme problems, he has been very bad this year at getting the ball in the playmaker's hands. Like,
I would agree.
The best coaches, when it's not working naturally, they manufacture touches for the best guys out there because they make, you know, the big plays happen. And it just seems odd that we can get through a whole game where we're never, you know, up. So we're running the ball consistently more than we're passing it. We're always, you know, kind of trailing, trying to get back in the game. So we should be throwing the ball a lot. And we end up with Christian Watson, 3 receptions. Let's see, Dontavian Wicks, 1 reception, and Jaden Reed, 1 reception, Romeo Dubs, 1 reception. So you have 6 receptions total between your top 4 wide receivers. And then Luke Musgrave, your big, big.
Whoa. Yeah, dang it. Change it. I hate that. Sorry about that. That's just trying to bring up the scores. Go ahead.
All right. Should we cut that part out?
No, that's us, man. All the warts.
Luke Musgrave, our young tight end, who's young, fast, supposed to be the next big thing at tight end, had 6 catches, not bad, but for 34 yards only. Mm. So it's all the checkdowns that he's grabbing in this game. And I don't know. We just need to make more happen. Christian Watson had the 77-yard long pass reception, but other than that, what did we do in the passing game?
Yeah, I agree. Throw interceptions. His Love's first interception of 3 for the game was 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and it was just a plain bad decision. It was just the linebacker was just playing back there in the zone. And he throws it right to him. And he really had some bad throws this game, behind players, over their heads, throwing where there weren't guys. I don't know if he was just expecting him to show up or bad routes. I don't know. But, I mean, he really did have some. And it's understandable. He's, you know, he is playing in extreme speed now. And people have film on him. And he's got to go through this to grow. But I agree with you. I think that his head coach could maybe help him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It does seem like Watson doesn't do the best with contact and kind of fighting for the ball. Every time he gets in contact with a defender, it seems like he's kind of losing that battle, which for a big guy, he should be able to improve on.
Well, he admitted, I mean, the third interception was with 44 seconds left in the game. And that was a target to Watson. And after the game, he took the blame for the interception, said it was his fault. So that might be kind of going with what you're saying.
Okay. It just feels like this whole offense and the scheme that LaFleur wants to run falls apart when Aaron Jones is injured and out of the game for any reason.
Yeah, like I saw LaFleur.
Everything kind of runs through Jones. And when that piece is gone, the center, like, it all falls apart through the center, which is weird because Matt LaFleur is a Shanahan guy, right? At the 49ers, that's kind of the coaching tree he comes through. And Shanahan does the same thing. Now he has Christian McCaffrey. Everything kind of runs through that dynamic back. But we've seen Shanahan make it work when those guys are injured. LaFleur needs to learn how to adapt when he doesn't have his key guys.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, just backing up on those interceptions, on a second interception in the fourth quarter, it was a tip ball. So you can kind of take that whichever way you want. But the other two, I don't know. I don't know if I take Watson's thing as much, but it could be at that interception at the end of the game. It could be what you're saying. He's not fighting hard enough to get in front of the ball because the defender was definitely, he had control of the ball coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could also just be growing pains with the NFL. You know, guys are going to fight a little harder, fight a little more, and be more aggressive, especially when Christian Watson was a big fish in a small pond at NDSU. That's not like playing for Ohio State or something like that, or Oregon, where, you know, you're kind of running an NFL offense in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Christian Watson was a big guy with smaller defenders. So he might need to learn that physical side of the game still.
That's true. The second year, he's been injured a lot.
So. That's the other thing. Hopefully he's not just one of those guys that's always injured.
Yeah, that is a concern. That is a concern. We didn't have any fumbles. Neither did they.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't. I don't know. Other than the interceptions, we didn't do anything horrible. We just didn't do anything good.
That's like my mother used to say something with a few expletives in there as well, quite often through my upbringing. But
I didn't mean to give you PTSD.
Oh no. We aren't going to get an injury update for the week because we don't play this week. But Packers coach Matt LaFleur said that Quay Walker, knee injury, and Darnell Savage with a calf injury avoided serious injuries. And
that's good.
He said potentially could be back for the game in Denver.
Good. We need him. That was a big part of this game, not having Quay Walker go out and not having Devondre Campbell. That's the whole middle of our offense, like the leaders of the offense, the big speed guys to cover the whole middle of the field. To lose both of them this game, like...
Did you say offense or defense?
For what? For the middle players of our defense. Yeah.
I thought you said offense. Okay.
Oh, maybe I did. But yeah, middle of our defense. And like you said, we still only gave up 17 points. That's not horrible. But it's a big blow to lose those guys.
Yeah, it is. And actually, our secondary, I think, has been highly rated in the NFL so far this year. So hopefully we can get him back for this this next game. I won't say it's a must game, but we're starting to get there.
I mean, if we this season is not a must season. This is kind of our rebuild, a lot of dead cap season, see what we have in Love.
Yeah, we got a lot of dead cap.
But if we want to make some kind of like wild card push, see if we can make some magic happen at the end of the season, then I think it is this game against the Broncos after the bye is a big deal if we want to be able to do that.
It is. I agree with you. And I'd like to see that we have that option. We're at a point because I feel, barring, you know, the injury bug, but I feel that we can get better as the season goes on. And I would hate to see us get latter in the season. We start really humming, but we don't make it to the playoffs. I mean, I would love to see us just make it to the playoffs. Obviously, I want to win. But if we don't, this young team just did it together, and they got to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was a rough start.
And even though we got just trounced in the first round by the 49ers, as usual, it was good that we got there.
Oh man, you don't have any idea how much the 49ers back in the 90s with the Packers, and oh man, it was just heartbreaking. I was on an ice fishing trip with a bunch of guys in Minnesota, and they're all Viking fans. I'm the white sheep of the family, and so the Packers, it was playoffs, and we beat the 49ers. And it's like 20 below as we're driving back out on the lake to the fish house. And yes, we do drive on the lake in Minnesota when it freezes over. And I got the window down and I'm just screaming. And people are like in the vehicle with it, the truck. And they're like, would you close the window and shut up? And it was just such a cool experience, you know, because I'm still coming from growing up in the 70s and 80s. Oh, yeah, shut up and hear for Lombardi. Oh, geez. But it was such a great feeling. And I always looked at the 49ers and still kind of do. They were just such a good franchise. They did so good. And it looks like they're kind of back in that saddle again with their current mm-hmm. system.
Yeah, they're watching the last couple Packers games and seeing some 49ers games this year, I do not want to play them.
That's like your mom loves watching college women's volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of have a recording on that. It just whatever comes on that we can record will. And so she'll get like Wisconsin is number one in the country against another really good team, and she's just loving how good it is, the long volleys, the great plays, athleticism. And then you get a couple of maybe a little more than lesser teams, and it's kind of like watching high school all over again. So but she sure enjoys watching that stuff. But it's kind of the same thing what you're saying. It's like the Packers, they're the smaller schools. And the 49ers, they're the Wisconsins of the world.
Exactly.
In women's college volleyball.
One storyline for this game that I was not aware of before the game was starting was the sibling battle at
kicker that was cool.
Between the Carlson brothers, with Anders Carlson for the Packers and Daniel Carlson for the Las Vegas Raiders. And we may have lost the game, but our rookie kicker won the battle. 2 for 2, long of 37, with an extra point as well for 7 total points. His brother Daniel for the Raiders went 1 for 3, 2 missed field goals, 2 extra points for 5 total points.
That's a neat story. And I like the fact that our punter was born in Ireland and then moved to the States, I think, when he was like 12 or 13. So Ireland is in love with the Packers. We got the right colors for Ireland.
We do.
So come on.
Exactly. They can walk into the pub. They don't even need to buy Packers gear.
Just walk into the pub with your Packers gear and you won't have to buy anything. Just one more note on the defense. Rudy Ford got his second interception in 2 weeks. So good job, Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah. Let's see here. What else do we have? Anders hasn't missed a field goal this season yet, by the way. Going
No, his brother didn't either, but he missed that 52, I think, 52-yarder. Oh, he missed two. He missed the 52 or 53, and then he went to kick later, and he hit the left upright.
Okay. You brought up Rudy Ford. One other part of the defense that we can really hang our hat on so far this year, and I don't know how much of this we can actually give Joe Barry credit for, or the fact that we have a lot of talent on defense, but our pass rush has been good this year.
Yes.
And including this game, we did sack Garoppolo four times. Clark got him on the opening drive to end their drive. Other than that, we had Preston Smith get a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We had Enagbare had one, and then Rashawn Gary added another sack on the season. So we have 15 sacks now through five games. That is impressive.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Gary's funny. The other guys get
their
sack.
We had 34 total last year.
Oh, really? Interesting stat. Thank you. The other guys, the other three guys get their sack and they're like crawling across. They're doing the military crawl on the ground and they're just screaming and yelling. And then Gary gets his sack and he just gets up and then he points up in the sky, hands together, and then he goes back to the huddle.
Like,
job done.
What else can we hang our hat on in this game? Do you have any other silver linings? That's what I'm kind of looking for here. You mentioned Rudy Ford. That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Christian Watson had the big catch and run.
We had no kick returns.
Oh, speaking of returns, did you hear that Jaden Reed is no longer going to be returning punts?
No. Well, I thought Keyshawn Nixon was the...
He's our kick returner. Reed was our punt returner.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure who's taking the punts. Maybe Nixon will take both now.
Well, Daniel Whalen was... He had four of them this game.
Oh, you think that's who's taking...
No, wait a minute.
No, that's our punter.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine a punter who returns punts too, though?
That would be awesome. You're such a stud.
That sounds like something. What's the bar? Is it Barstool Sports or no? The former punter who has the big sports show now.
Oh, Pat McCaffrey.
Pat McAfee.
McAfee. That's it.
That's something I could have seen him doing, returning punts as well.
Yeah. He's got a built for it. So.
Exactly. He looks like he could do it.
Well, Daniel, our punter, he had four punts. And he averaged 46. That's pretty darn good. He had a long of 54. So kudos to him.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, we don't have much more. All our silver linings besides Watson's catch are on the defense because we don't have too much we could talk about on the offense. Love, you know, had a lot of bad interceptions in this game, especially that second one was just a horrible look.
Well, the second one got tipped, but he threw it in.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the traffic. First one then. The one he threw right to the guy. Okay, that one.
And he got a nice run back, too.
I did tune into the Manning cast for a little bit at one point, and Peyton was saying that instead of, because Eli asked if he thought Jordan Love was going through his reads, like not going through his reads. Peyton said that Love was going through his read too fast. He wasn't waiting for the play to develop before looking through every receiver. And then he was out of options before he even had a chance to get the ball to someone.
Okay.
So that seems fixable. Seems like a young guy thing. If you're nervous, you try to like get it done faster.
I agree.
So we'll see. I'm not giving up on Love yet. Just a couple bad games. You see a lot of Packers fans online, like, oh, we need to move on and like all this. But
you've been on Reddit again, huh?
Exactly. On the defense, the main thing that frustrated me with the scheme outside of like the pass protection and playing soft late in the game was that we knew Max Crosby was going to be the big kind of game wrecker for us on offense.
Yeah. Yeah,
we knew we had to do something about him, and it felt like we did nothing. We didn't provide help on him. We didn't double team him. We just kind of kept thinking, like, very Mike McCarthy style.
Oh, dang, it'll get better. You stole it. I was going to use that.
My bad. Rewind. Go ahead.
Keep going.
But yeah, just McCarthy would always be like, well, we're not going to have a guy like double team or like chip him for us because we're going to expect our guy to step up and be able to step up to the situation.
Right.
Well, instead what you do is you end up throwing a lot of guys under a bus.
Yep. Yeah. It's just bad scheming. That's what scheming is all about.
Mm-hmm.
But all right. Are you ready to move forward and do the game ball?
I think I am ready for the game ball.
And now, here's the game ball.
This week's game ball.
Hang on.
This week's game ball goes to Anders Carlson. Oh man, I had a whole thing. I'm starting it over. Do your rewind sound. This week's game ball goes to Anders Toes of Steel Carlson. Take a bow, young man. You're going into the bye week. Perfect kicking record. 7 of 7. Way to go. Your first bleeding green and gold game ball.
Anders, we are so proud of you. Don't let us down.
See, that's what I had planned before you made me laugh.
I don't know. I just might leave that whole thing in. I don't know. All right.
Oh, boy. We're having a couple faux pas, just like the Packers on the field.
We only had a couple. All right. You want to talk about the games? Let's go through the picks first. That makes it easier.
Yeah, we'll go through the picks and then you can clean up any other games. We went in with you up by one, and we both thought the Bears would lose to the Washington football team, but they won. We both thought the Bills could beat the Jaguars. We were wrong.
Oh, man, that was a surprise.
Jaguars.
One thing I heard about that, Jaguars were there for 2 weeks.
That's what I was just going to mention.
Okay.
Because they had two back-to-back games, so they were pretty acclimated to being over there. But also,
it sure
Bills
sounds
are very...
like they're going to be playing more games over there. They're like saying, yeah, we'll play over there.
I'm assuming eventually here they'll get bought by a London owner and move to London.
Really?
Because they've been kind of rumoring about trying to get a team in England for a while here and make that work for a season. And if any teams... Unless you're trying to add more teams to the league, what other team would be going to London than the Jaguars?
Packers?
Yeah. Can you imagine? There'd be riots in every Wisconsin bar and church.
No, I think there'd be more than just Wisconsin. I think they got a pretty strong following. But, yep, okay, so we both got that one wrong. We both got...
So we're on a roll, but we did get... The Lions beating the Panthers, correct. The Chiefs beating the Vikings, correct. The 49ers beating the Cowboys, correct. The only game we differed on was you took the Packers. I took the Raiders.
That's why we lost.
No, that's a good luck charm for me to pick the Raiders. It just didn't work out this time.
Right, see?
And so we go into week 6 games tied up. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So before we get into the new picks, What do you want to clean up on scores from last week?
Let's see. Boy, the Giants do not look good this year. Dolphins 31, Giants 16. And here, what the heck is going on with the Patriots? Saints 34, Patriots 0. They are now 1-4. And Bill Belichick was asked about it, and he said, on next week.
And that's a direct quote, actually.
How about the Steelers?
Real quick on the Patriots. Their last game, they lost by 35. It was his biggest defeat of his career for Belichick. This game, they lost 0-34. Not his new biggest defeat, but his biggest shutout in his career.
Wow.
That's a good crazy couple of weeks for Bill Belichick.
Next week. Steelers over the Ravens again. Boy, they don't like each other. Let's see, what else did I see? That the Broncos kind of made it tough against the Jets, but how good are the Jets? Jets 31, Broncos 21. Surprised to see the Vikings staying so close to the Chiefs. I don't know. I know their offense has been struggling, 27-20. And then the one that really stuck out for me and makes me hope that they're peaking way too early is the 49ers over the Cowboys. Everybody thought the Cowboys were God's gift to the NFL this year. 49ers 42, Cowboys 10. 49ers are 5-0. Cowboys are now 3-2. And it'll be curious to see if the Cowboys don't have a good season, what they're expecting, if McCarthy stays, because it's just like, we can do this, we can do this, and then they don't.
Well, how long has it been in the offseason? Cowboys are going to be the big team this year. Oh, this is their year. They have all this and this, and they improved this, and they have a couple games. They look really good. They kind of flounder in the season, maybe make the playoffs, and then get bounced out right away. It's been decades for the Cowboys.
I hear you. I hear you. And it's like I get when I go to like Pro Football Talk, or was that, is that right? PFT. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many articles. I mean, they must have a huge media team in the Cowboys, because there's always stuff in the news. There's always stuff. And of course they got an owner that loves being out there all the time, no matter if it's good or bad, but
he calls radio shows and asks to be on them. What other owner does that? You're on mute.
I just skip over them. Whenever I see stuff about Cowboys, it's just rarely is it anything legit. It's just maybe, could be. But I'm done.
All right. Well, we are done with week 5, into week 6 of the season. And a couple big teams at top, a handful of really horrible teams at the bottom, and then not much to differentiate a lot of teams in the middle of the league right now, it feels like.
I don't know why I found that funny.
There was no joke in there.
No, it's basically like a reverse pair. The middle is thin and the ends are thick.
Yeah. But in this case, the middle is thick and the ends are little.
So it's a pear.
You're in a weird mood.
It's been a hard week.
We're ending this podcast. No more picks. No more.
Let's do our picks.
All right. So we're tied up going into week 6,
which is fun.
We have Broncos at Chiefs. That already happened, so I'm taking the Chiefs. You got Broncos
again?
Who do you got in that game?
The Broncos and Chiefs?
Yeah.
I'll go with the Chiefs.
You got Chiefs too? All right. So we both got that one right. Then we have the London game Sunday. No Jaguars this time. It's Ravens at Titans. Ravens at Titans.
I think the Ravens will bounce back.
I just never... I never know what to think about the Titans the last couple of years. I keep thinking they have potential and a lot of talent, and they just, they're always a little under mediocre, it feels like. So I'm going to take the Ravens.
Okay.
And then we go to...
Excuse me. I heard the Titans head coach runs the squad team, or the B team, quarterback.
The what?
The Titans head coach?
Yeah.
He runs, excuse me, I got a tickle. He played for second string. He for the B team, he plays quarterback.
Oh, he plays quarterback. I thought you said he was in charge of the quarterback. Interesting. Who's their head coach again?
I didn't want you to ask me that.
I'm sorry. Well,
I can see him.
Why
I'm really good with bases.
Coming in, Mike Vrabel?
Yeah.
There you go. Look at that. I searched it.
You
I searched it. Vikings at Bears. Noon game.
Oh, man. A battle of 1-4 teams in Chicago.
In Chicago.
I'll go with the Queens.
I'm going with the Bears.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
Yeah. I don't know. Justin Fields, it looks like they kind of took the training wheels off and they're letting him sling it around. He's been looking better. So I think that's going to be the difference, overcoming that Vikings secondary.
Okay.
And then we move on to Lions at Buccaneers, 3:25 Central Time.
This could be one of those good games. You know, you look at the records and look at the players. I'm going to go with the Lions. I just think that they've been playing so good.
Yeah, it's hard to... Bucks have been looking pretty good, but it's hard to bet against the Lions right now. I'm going Lions. And we have Giants at Bills, our Sunday night game. Bills have laid a couple eggs. Giants have done nothing but laid giant eggs.
Oh, man, they're bad. So, and they're not a young team either. I mean, they're just blamed. There's going to be a major change over there. Going with the Bills. Got to go with the Bills. They're playing at home.
You can't take the Giants in mini games. Maybe if they're playing
Denver.
Oh, God. Don't say that. Now you're just making me even more nervous to lose to Denver. All right.
Hey, speaking of Denver, how about Sean Payton before the season even started? Just dissing the pass coach. Oh, man. Just really giving
Nathaniel Hackett, the former Packers coach.
That's right. Now the coordinator for the Jets. But he was vicious. You know,
he said
it
was
that.
The worst coaching performance in history of the NFL.
And people talk, bring it up to him. How do you feel? And he tells them, everybody's trying to get that first round pick there for a quarterback. But
he lost to Nathaniel Hackett's Jets last week. So now we go to Monday Night Football. The Cowboys against the Chargers.
I don't know much about the Chargers this year. I haven't seen them.
Well, they're about the same as every year for the past 10 years. They have a lot of talent. They're fun to watch. They have a good offense. But they find a way to just seize defeat from the jaws of victory at the end of every game. And they will lose in the most unique and creative way possible.
All right, I'll go with the Cowboys.
I didn't sell you on the Chargers there.
Man, that's crazy.
I know. They really do. They have some of the most crazy collapses you'll ever see, from like 99% chance of winning in Vegas odds in a game, like in the middle of the game, to just collapsing. That being said, I think I'm going to pick them.
Oh, I knew you were trying to lead me astray.
No, if you had not picked the Cowboys, I would have, but I'm going to try to differentiate from you a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, we both got the Chiefs right.
We did. We know we're still tied after that Thursday night game.
And joining the Packers on the bye is the 3-2 Steelers, the 2-3 Packers. So they'll be at L.A. next. And as we said a couple times, we'll be at Denver.
Denver.
All right, my man.
How you feeling?
How you feeling?
How you feeling?
Well, it didn't disappoint me tremendously. You know, I'm not like 10, 15 years ago when I would lose a game on Sunday and maybe Wednesday afternoon I'd start feeling better. But it was disappointing. You know, I like I said in the opening of the podcast of Bleeding Green and Gold, I thought we would get healthy this week. I thought we would put one in the win column and set us up for the bye and just great vibe going in.
Yeah. And even if you're going to lose, you want to be able to like have some things to hang your hat on. And we did not have much of that this game.
Mm-hmm. No, but they do look young, man. They really do.
Yeah. We will see. We will see. This is a Packers season unlike one we have had in a long, long time.
Long, long time.
So we are glad you are here with us for the journey. Thank you for tuning in, supporting the podcast. We would love for you to join us on Bleeding Green and Gold on Facebook during the conversation. And
until next week.
Go.
All right, let's try that one more time. I didn't know what you wanted me to say. You're pointing at me. Okay. All right. Until next week.
Go.
Pack.
Go.
Hey, that was really good.
Thank you. We've had a couple fumbles. We've had a couple fumbles this game. The Packers may have avoided them, but we did not.
And I'm leaving them in.
You're leaving them in. That's because you don't want to edit them out.
No, because I just like being honest. I hate stuff when I watch stuff like on the internet where it's like it's so obvious that it's all cut out and just like the highlight stuff. It's like it looks weird, but no, I want us to sound weird. We're not going to edit it.
There you go. That's our niche.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!